Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And we give thanks for the reading of God's word, and now we seek its meaning for our life, and we ask for God's Holy Spirit to lead me in that process, or if we open our minds and our hearts to hear his word and to be transformed by it. Now, today we are continuing in our series of sermons on the fruit of the Spirit. And if you've been with us over the last several weeks, you have heard us talk about some of these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit are like feelings or emotions. I mean, joy is a feeling, right? When you come to inner peace, that's a feeling. Patience is certainly a feeling. But today we're going to be talking about an aspect of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that has nothing to do with feeling at all. And that is the fruit known as goodness. Goodness. Bearing the fruit of goodness in our lives is not based upon a feeling. Rather, it's based upon the actions that we choose to make in spite of how we feel. Often we will say to our kids, you know, just be good. Please, be good. Do you know what we really mean? Is that we want them to do good, right? Well, in Paul's letters, you hear Paul saying this over and over and over again, that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to do good. In Galatians, he says, let us not become weary in doing. In 2 Corinthians, he says, you will abound in every good work. In Colossians, Paul prays the believers will continue to bear fruit in every good work. In 2 Timothy, Paul says that through the word of God, we are equipped for every good work. And then in our text for this morning, from Ephesians, he says, for we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So it's clear that this was God's plan for his people, that those who are growing into maturity spiritually, those who are walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, they are to seek to do good at every opportunity they have. We hear these same words, the same message from Jesus in the Gospels. In Matthew's Gospel, he says, you will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. And then in verse 19, he goes on to giving us a warning. A warning that we need to pay attention to. He's talking about those who claim to be religious, but actually don't do good works. He says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So, today's message is really an exhortation for all of us to take seriously the gospel call to do good in our lives. And, you know, it would seem that this message would be just as simple as saying what we often say to our kids. Just be good. Just do good. And that'd be all that needs to be said this morning. But for anybody who has ever tried to actually do good in their lives, they quickly run into a mighty obstacle. What is that obstacle? That we are not good. We are not good when it comes to our actions and our behaviors. None of us are. In Mark's Gospel, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, Jesus said to him, no one is good but God alone. In the Old Testament, David said, there is no one who does good, not even one. I think we can all identify with the Apostle Paul's struggle when he says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, but in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Anybody here identify with Paul's struggle? I know I do. So on one hand, the Bible tells us that no one does good because no one is good. And on the other hand, we have God commanding us to do good. How does that work? You know, I think if we're honest with ourselves, this is a lot like asking a dog or telling a dog to go sing opera. You may get that dog on stage, and you may get some noise out of that dog, but he's not going to be able to reach those high notes, you know, the notes in opera. Doing good all the time just seems humanly impossible. So how do we fulfill this command of God to do good? And how do we live this on a daily basis as part of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit? Well, I think with the work of God's Holy Spirit within us, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work within us. With the Holy Spirit working within us, I do believe there's a way we can fulfill this command. And today we're going to explore this journey that leads to bearing the fruit of goodness in our lives. And to do that, we're going to be talking about three essential distinctions that we need to make in order to cultivate this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit known as goodness. And first of all, you need to understand that there is a big difference between being and doing. I think another way to say this is we need to understand that there is a big difference between being made righteous and doing works of righteousness. When the Bible tells us to do good, you have to remember that this command comes with a non-negotiable clause. And that is that we cannot earn our way into heaven. I mean, you can't do enough good in order to earn a right relationship with God. You can't even do good your way into being a good person. None of us can. Our efforts alone will never be enough. As the prophet Isaiah says, all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Trying to earn your own salvation, earn God's righteousness, is like that dog trying to sing opera. Our efforts are simply not enough, and they never will be. This is why Jesus came into this world to die for our sins. On that cross, our sinless Savior bore the sins of this world. Like a sacrificial lamb, he paid the price for every sin that you will ever commit. But his work didn't end there. Not only was your sin transferred to Jesus on that cross, when you receive him as your Lord and Savior, his righteousness is transferred to you. The theological word for this is imputed righteousness. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took on your sin. You take on his righteousness, and you're made right in your relationship with God. Not because of anything you've done, or not because of your hard work, but only by the grace and the mercy of God. That's what this text is trying to say to us this morning. Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. The Bible never says, do good so that God will love you. Or do good so that you can earn your salvation. Or do good so that you will become a better person. This is really what distinguishes Christianity from other religions. The only way that you can become good or righteous is to receive the gift of salvation and the gift of God's mercy and righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And if you've not received that gift or you've not made that decision in your life, then know that God's grace, it's never too late. It's always offered to you every day, even now. But we need to remember that the Christian life doesn't end by being made positionally right in our relationship with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once we accept what God has done for us in Christ, then we begin this lifelong journey. A journey where the Holy Spirit fills us and it helps us to become through our actions what we can never do on our own. In the United Methodist Church, we call this the process of sanctification. Becoming more like Jesus every day with the Spirit's work within us. As Paul says in verse 10 of our text, "For we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." So this was God's plan for us all along, that we would seek to do good works, not as a way of trying to earn God's favor, but in response to the grace that has been freely given to us. This is why I say there's a big difference between being and doing when it comes to cultivating this fruit of the Spirit known as goodness. Paul is not talking about our positional standing with God through Jesus Christ. That matter has already been settled. Paul is talking about our daily behavior, our daily actions in response to what God has done for us. Our daily actions of doing good to others. And that's the other distinction that I really think we need to make this morning, is that goodness is never less than an action. And the reason that we need to be clear about this is because we often have this tendency to want to judge ourselves by our good intentions. You know that? I mean, we often say, "I really meant to do good. I really meant to help that person. I just never got around to doing it." And that seems to be most of our stories. And we end up fooling ourselves into believing that our good intentions are enough. But when it comes to cultivating the fruit of goodness in our life, good intentions will never be enough. What really matters is what you do. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus told a parable about a man who had two sons. And he asked both of these sons to go into the vineyard to work. One of the sons says, "I don't want to go in the vineyard today, so I'm not going to go." The other son said, "Okay, I'll go." But actually, that son ended up changing his mind and he never went to the vineyard to work. And the one who said, "I don't want to go and I'm not going to go," he changed his mind. He ended up actually going and working in the vineyard. So Jesus asked the question, which of these two did the will of the Father? And I think the answer is obvious. When it comes to working in the vineyard, good intentions may be good, but they're never good enough. Ultimately, it comes down to what you actually do. I mean, feeling compassion is one thing. Doing compassion is what really matters, right? The desire to do good, the promise to do good, they may be good things, but by themselves, they're not good enough. It really matters. What counts is what you actually do. When a screenwriter or a playwright develops a character in a movie, they have to keep one simple principle in mind. That is, a character is what the character does. Because in movies, that's how we distinguish the good guys from the bad guys, right? By the character's behavior. Now, that character may grow, they may change throughout the story, but those changes are always reflected in the character's behavior. Because goodness, it is never less than an action. So if you've been taking solace in your good intentions, thinking, "You know, at least I meant well, at least I meant to be good," it is time to take your best intentions, your good intentions, and to put them in action. And if you're like that son who said, "I don't want to go work in the vineyard today," it's time to change your mind. It's time to actually put things into action and to do good. I suspect, however, more of us can identify with that second son who said, I don't want to go in the vineyard, but then changed his mind. We have every intention of doing good. The problem is we just never get around to doing it. It's time to put your good intentions into actions. And that leads us, I think, to the third distinction this morning as we strive to cultivate this fruit of goodness. And that is that goodness is cultivated on a daily basis. This is not one of those one and done things that we do in life. In other words, when you think to yourself, well, I did this good deed, and I did that, help that person, and now I've got a credit balance in my account with God, so I can just coast for now. I don't have to do that anymore for a while. Now, that's not how this works. When it comes to cultivating the fruit of goodness in our life, we start every day with a clean slate, with a zero balance. And it's up to us to build up that balance every day. As Paul says in his letter to Galatians, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. In 1 Thessalonians, he says, always seek to do good to one another and to all. At every opportunity, Paul says, we are to strive to do good. And if you're paying attention, you will hear that call, that opportunity to do good throughout every day of your life, knocking on your door. And that's why I think the best way to cultivate this fruit of goodness in our life is to develop a today mentality. It's just a way of saying that today I will do the right thing. Today I will do the good thing. I may be tempted to defer my good work to another day, but I'm going to choose to do it today. I'm not going to procrastinate, put it off. I may have blown my opportunities in the past to do good. So today, I choose to do good. Instead of just patting myself on the back for my good intentions, I'm going to take those good intentions to the next level and to do good. The fruit of goodness, it is cultivated on a daily basis. It comes down to our willingness to say, today I choose to do the right thing. Today I choose to do the good thing. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter summarized the life of Jesus by saying this. He said, he went around doing good. What a remarkable way to summarize or describe someone's life. They went around doing good. Listen, you may not be able to raise the dead or heal people miraculously like Jesus did, but you can go through the day doing good at every opportunity that you have. So as I said in my opening statements, this fruit of the Spirit known as goodness, it is not based upon a feeling. Rather, it is based upon the actions that we do. There are many times when the Christian life is filled with an abundance of good feelings. It's filled with joy and peace and contentment and satisfaction. It's filled with a close connection with God and with other people. But the fruit of goodness is not based upon how we feel toward others or even toward ourselves. It is a fruit that comes from a life that has been transformed by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, in whom the Holy Spirit is now working, empowering, helping us to become more like Jesus and to do what we could never do on our own. There may be days when you don't feel like being a good person. There may be days when you don't feel any goodness at all. You may feel like you're the worst person because of your failures in life. But cultivating this quality of the Spirit's fruit is not based upon how you feel about yourself or anybody else. Again, it is based upon your actions. So if you buy groceries for a single mother who's staring at an empty pantry, even it doesn't matter how you feel about yourself or anybody else on that given day, your goodness, your acts of goodness, the good that you do, is tangible. If you visit someone who is lonely, or you speak words of encouragement to someone who's on the edge of despair, it really doesn't matter how you feel about yourself or about anyone else in that given moment. The good that you do is tangible. If you drag yourself out of bed in the morning and you open your Bible and you ask God to guide you through the day, it doesn't matter how unworthy you may feel about yourself. The goodness that you do is tangible. Even when you're feeling at your worst, you can still cultivate this fruit of goodness in your life, because goodness is not based upon your feelings. It is demonstrated and lived out by your actions, your today actions. Listen, we are living in a world. Our world today is an environment that makes doing good to others very challenging, even difficult. I mean, it's so much easier to join in the tide of hatred and disdain toward others that we don't like. But that is not the way that we are called to live as followers of Jesus Christ. If we are ever going to change the tide in our country, in this world, in our community, or in the relationships that you have with other people, it will be only when we begin to bear this fruit, the spiritual fruit of goodness in our lives. As Paul says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people today. Let us make that goal in our life as we begin this week, that it make us part of who we are, asking the Holy Spirit of God to help bear within us the fruit of goodness. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we hear this word, a word that calls us to bear the fruit of goodness, we confess, God, that we're living in a time that's difficult to do always. And we fail at this miserably at times. Forgive us, O God. Put within us a right spirit, the right heart. A heart that is willing to allow your spirit to do for us and help us to do what we cannot do on our own. To respond to hatred, divisiveness, evil, with goodness. A goodness that can transform people and the world that we live in. A goodness that gives us a purpose for being to make a difference in this world. God, we can't do this on our own. It's too hard. We're too sinful by nature to do that. We need your help. So I pray, God, that each person listening today will offer themselves to you, allowing your Spirit to work within them, to be for you the goodness that this world needs. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.